everybody. Welcome to episode 387 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and I'm going to get caught up on a couple of the books from last week, as well as talk about one of the books that's coming out this Wednesday. And there's also a bit of Aftershock news. But before I get into that, just to let everybody know, I am going to be at San Diego Comic-Con here in a few weeks, so just a reminder, if you're going to be there, let me know. Love to meet up with you, take a picture, talk about the show, hook you up with a free lanyard. We'll have a lot of content coming out of San Diego. Not quite sure how we're going to release it all yet. In the past, we kind of just dumped it all at once, like maybe five episodes a day. I kind of prefer to release interviews I do with people as their own standalone episode, but sometimes the interviews are only like 5 minutes or so. So I'm trying to decide what exactly I want to do. And the reason I like to release them each as their own thing is because if you're just a fan of one person, right, then you can just listen to that one episode. You don't have to listen to everything. So again, I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it, but just be prepared for a lot of content coming out of San Diego. So let's start with the Aftershock news that came out recently that I want to mention. So Legendary Pictures has acquired the worldwide film rights for Animosity, the series from Marguerite Bennett, who's been on the show before. And for those not familiar, Animosity is about animals gaining sentience, just for reasons that are unknown to us at this point in the story. Just from one moment to the next, animals gain the ability to speak and to think and to communicate. And as you can imagine, the entire world changes overnight. So it's a really good story. The main title, Animosity, focuses on a girl named Jessie and her dog Sandor, who is very devoted to her and wants to see her survive and be reunited with her uncle in San Francisco, who's a big part of the spinoff series, Animosity Evolution. So it's a story I feel that can translate very well to the big screen. A couple of the people over at Aftershock are heavily involved. Lee Kramer and John Kramer are part of Aftershock Media, and they've been tapped to produce the film. So the fact that Lee and John are attached to the film gives me great hope that it'll be very faithful to the source material. And just based on the track record of Aftershock in such a short period of time, their dedication to story and quality, again, it gives me a very positive outlook on this film. And it's great for Marguerite. So congratulations, Marguerite. That's really awesome. I can't wait to see you at San Diego and congratulate you in person. I know you have to be just so excited for this. All right, so I'm going to talk about a couple of the books that came out last week, because I can talk about them a little more in depth without having to worry about spoiling. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Brothers Dracul, number 3, written by Cullen Bunn. We've got art by Mirko Kolak and colors by Maria Santalala. So the first half of this book is just a big fight. The Tepes brothers and their charge, I suppose you say, the Sultan's son, who they're basically charged to protect, Mehmed. They're out there, they're hunting vampires, and the Tepes brothers, throughout the course of this battle that takes up the first half of the book, equate themselves very well. They've learned their lessons. Granted, their lives depend on their ability to fight well. But Mehmed, on the other hand, not so much. He's a little timid. He's a little gun-shy. And that leads to some issues. And Vlad specifically takes offense to that. And he actually punches Mehmed when the fight is over. And you can imagine how well that goes over with the Sultan's other men. I find it interesting, though, like why are the teenagers the ones that fight the vampires while the older seasoned veterans hang back? I mean, is it just a matter of these guys are expendable? Except, you know, the Sultan's son obviously is not. So it's an interesting dynamic that Cullen Bunn is playing with here. So other than the big fight, we get a scene with Vlad and the girl that he has been kind of hinting that he has feelings for. I mean, he's very closed off. He's very, I don't know, the only emotions he expresses are anger and kind of frustration, pretty much negative emotions. But clearly he's attracted to this girl. And she seems to be playing some games of her own. So that's an interesting character dynamic that's going on. If I had to guess, I'd say something's probably going to happen to her that's going to push Vlad even further over the edge. And perhaps that in some way leads to him becoming Dracula. But again, as Cullen said when he was on the show, this isn't really a story of Vlad the Impaler or, you know, an early story of Dracula. This is the tales of the brothers. And it's great so far. And the art by Mirko Kolak is absolutely amazing. The vampires have a unique look to them. And the battle scene, it's just really cool. Mirko, that is, has a great sense of timing and sequencing out the battle. And so you understand what's going on. Like, you get a clear visual of it, but it's also very frenetic, which battle often is. And so Mirko does a great job of conveying that with the images. And then the colors by Maria are exceptional as well. A lot of blues and reds with all the blood. So it's been a really fun series so far. And it's a relatively quick read as well. So it's very, very fast paced, which again, I think is purposeful by Cullen. And I think this is going to read great as a trade. That's not to say I wouldn't recommend picking up the monthlies, but if you are waiting for the trade, you know, you're going to enjoy it for sure. Because as I said, the pace is very, very quick. That is the one drawback to reading it monthly, as I'm doing, because as soon as I finish the issue, I immediately want the next one, but I have to wait. So, all right, let me talk about the another of the books that came out last week, and that would be, let me find it here, Pestilence, Son of Satan, A Story of Satan, rather, issue 2, written by Frank Thierry with art by Oleg Okunev. And we've got Rob Schwager on colors. And I should also mention that there are a couple other creators that are credited for story here, Eric Bromberg and Brandon Allman. So I'm sure that Frank would want me to give them proper credit. So I am not going to get into any details on this book. Because it's very graphic, and it's definitely for mature readers. That being said, when Frank was on the show not too long ago, he really talked about upping the ante with the second volume, and that's exactly what's happened. The zombies, for lack of a better term, are even more formidable now. They're able to communicate. They're able to, I don't want to say think, because they could think before, but their level of intelligence has been raised. They're more directly under the control of Satan, and that makes them a much more dangerous foe for Roderick and his men. When you meet Roderick's wife in the issue, and she seems to be a great character. I really like the way that she handles herself. She's very much a no-nonsense woman, and Roderick has trained her well, so that's awesome as well. So again, this book is not for the faint of heart. A lot of blood, a lot of gore, some nudity in this particular issue, and it ends in a way that I didn't necessarily see coming, and that's a good thing. But man, is this book brutal. So Roderick and his men, they really have their hands full. They're vastly outnumbered at this point, and it's going to be interesting to see how they are able to get out of this one. But this book is just a whole lot of fun. Like, if you just like over the top, like violence and gore and awesome battles, then you're gonna dig this book. You know, and that's not to say that there's no story here, because I think that Frank does actually a good job of conveying in relatively few lines of dialogue kind of the character of these characters, right? Like, you very much, even if you haven't read the first volume, you can just get a sense by you know, a few short words and the actions of the participants, like, what is going on here, right? Like, it's pretty obvious who's morally corrupt and who are the heroes, right? So I do also want to mention that the art by Oleg Okunev is very well done. It's not everybody who can illustrate these bloody scenes and still keep it clear what's happening when it's a mob of zombies fighting. And he does a great job of giving us a few quieter moments where he can. There's not a lot of space for it, but we do get some good facial expression. And yeah, I think he uses a lot of inset panels, and it's a great way to kind of maximize the space on the page to make sure we get a sense of the flow of the story, while still giving us a lot of visual and not making it look too crowded. So incredible job. And yeah, this book is not for the faint of heart, but after the second issue, I'm definitely hooked for the second volume of Pestilence. I mean, it's a great idea. And I know that Frank is having a heck of a lot of fun writing it, so I do recommend it. But again, very mature readers only, please. All right, and then the last title that I'm going to talk about actually comes out this Wednesday, and it wraps up the series, for now at least. Based on the ending, I could see that the door is left open for more, and that's Jimmy's Bastards number 9, written by Garth Ennis, co-created and artist Russ Braun. We have John Kalis on colors, Rob Steen doing letters. I don't want to say I was disappointed in the ending, but I have mentioned that I haven't enjoyed the second volume of Jimmy's Bastards as much as the first. I really liked Jimmy Regent when he was totally like over the top, and Ennis kind of, I don't want to use the word neutered him, just based on all the sexual overtones in the book. It's not the right word to use, but I'll say Ennis really kind of neutralized what was like some of the best things about Jimmy Regent. But I'm sure that's what he had planned all along. I'm sure he had, you know, both these first two volumes, because it does tell a complete story. But as I said, there's almost what you could refer to as a post-credit scene that leaves it open for the series to return. It is a lot of fun. Now that it's concluded, I want to go back and reread it in one big read, you know, all 9 issues, because we did have a few breaks now and then, and that may give us, or give me, you know, a better sense and understanding of the story and the flow of it. I'd also say it's not wrapped up in one nice, neat package. There are still consequences over what happened, that Jimmy and his partner couldn't necessarily resolve. This is another series I'd like to see return. I'd like to see Jimmy get some of his swagger back. But again, that kind of remains to be seen. But the art throughout, you know, it's Russ Braun. He's the perfect artist, perfectly suited to do this spoof on the super spy. I should also mention, yeah, this is mature readers for sure. You know, some sexual overtones with the gender fluid that basically men became women became men, sort of, or at least, you know, their parts, their bits, as they're called in the book, got swapped around, but also very bloody. I mean, it's kind of cartoon gore at this point, or maybe I shouldn't even say gore, but just like blood and, you know, people's spines being ripped out or whatever. It's clearly over the top. So, I mean, if you're at all familiar with Garth Ennis's work, The Boys, it's got that same kind of feel, right? Really bloody and definitely for mature readers. Garth's not pulling any punches here. And he's definitely saying something about consumerism and gender roles and what's the word I'm searching for? Chauvinism. That's it. So there are some, you know, Machiavellian elements. I mean, when you look at a character like James Bond, right? I mean, there's no way to like sugarcoat it. If you look at Bond as he was first created and written by Ian Fleming, you know, who originated the character, he's very much a chauvinist. He's very much a womanizer. He does not treat women well. So, again, you're doing a spoof on him. You're gonna take some of that, right? You're gonna take some of that, and you're gonna turn it up. You're gonna shine the magnifying glass on that, and you're gonna push that to the point of making it farcical. And that's what satire and doing a spoof comic like this is all about. But to Ennis's credit, we do see growth from Jimmy Regent on that front. Again, it's both good and bad, right? Like I talked about the fact that he's a little less enjoyable because he's lost some of that swagger. So that would be the challenge if Ennis were to bring this character back. Can you give him the swagger back without having to return him to that kind of two-dimensional, farcical character that he was? Because you want to be able to show that he's learned that he, you know, can't go through life just using women with no consequences. But again, if you return him back to that, you know, oblivious, spoof-like character, then he hasn't learned anything and there's no growth. And you start feeling like, well, what's the point of me, you know, reading about this guy other than it's humorous? So I guess we'll have to wait and see if it's going to return at all. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. I do want to mention that there are a couple of other books coming out from Aftershock this Wednesday, July 4th. We've got Dark Arc, number 8, and that's also by Cullen Bunn, and then Animosity. If you need to get caught up before the... Well, you probably have a lot of time to get caught up before the movie comes out, but if you want to get caught up and be part of all the excitement as the movie developments and news have come out recently, we've got Animosity Volume 3 trade paperback coming out this Wednesday as well. So I definitely recommend Dark Arc and Jimmy's Bastards. Animosity, I've been picking that up monthly myself, but yeah, if you're behind on that, definitely pick up Volume 3, find out what all the buzz is about. So, as always, We want to thank you for joining us. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever other platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also a reminder, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're visiting us at LRM Online, be sure to check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. And don't forget, Manny and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in a few short weeks, so we hope to see you there. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.